KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Hello, I love you. Won't you tell me your name? Hello.
A year into the pandemic, it would be hard to say that the feeling of loneliness hasn't entered each of our lives in some way. But it's not always that it takes a financial toll, too. From 2019 to 2020, the reported losses from sweetheart or romance scams increased by 50%, according to the Federal Trade Commission. Over $300 million were lost to these kinds of scams last year. AARP Oregon is hosting a webinar to educate people about the warning signs of romance scams on April 23rd. I spoke with Chuck Harwood, the FTC Regional Director, to learn more.
So I understand AARP Oregon is hosting a series of virtual programs, and one of them is focused on romance or sweetheart scams. So to start out, what is a romance scam?
Sure. Well, so a romance scam is basically a scheme or a tactic in which scammers try to befriend somebody, usually online, to convince them that to send them money, or typically money, but sometimes they also ask them to do other things for them, and they do that simply by making the victim believe that they have met someone who is either going to become a close friend or potentially even develop a romance with. They're going to even develop a romance with. You know, we've had the pandemic, and obviously, it's tragic in many ways. But another in the long list of, you know, the real consequences that we've all felt through the pandemic has been the, you know, just the basic loneliness and isolation that was brought on by living virtually pretty much all the time, and that might explain why romance scams have reached literally a record number in 2020, we estimated based on reports just to the FTC, there were $304 million in reported losses just in 2020, and that's about a 50% increase from 2019. So a huge growth in the numbers. And those numbers have gone up year after year for a number of years, but particularly in 2020, we saw a huge increase. Oftentimes, as I think I alluded to, romance scammers create fake profiles. They may do it on dating apps or social media, and they make up stories about, you know, that will hopefully attract somebody to them. Sometimes it begins with a friend request in social media. Sometimes it's some kind of a dating app where there's an attractive person depicted, something like that. But invariably, at some point, they always need money, and they will ask for money at some point. And usually they work the victim long enough that the victim doesn't realize that they've been hooked, or doesn't necessarily just say no. Instead, they oftentimes end up sending the money, which is where you end up with these really substantial losses, by far the largest losses of any individual type of scam that we've seen.
What does that look like numbers-wise? Does it stack up differently than other scams?
Yeah, it's much higher, and it's much higher on individual scams. It's also much higher for losses. So, for example, I can look at a couple of different ways. But first of all, the number of people who were enticed in these romance scams who were between 20 and 29 years old actually doubled between 2019 and 2020. The amount of money lost by each individual who's a victim of these scams is an average of $2,500. It can be much larger for some people than others, but it's about $2,500, and that's 10 times the median loss of other scams or frauds. So 10 times the typical loss we'd see for other frauds. And a couple of other interesting facts that, in terms of the age of people who fall for it, I mentioned that we saw the biggest growth between 20 and 29 year olds, but people 40 to 69 continue to be the ones who most likely report losing money. And for consumers over 70, they reported average losses of almost $10,000 per person.
Wow. So what are some of the warning signs that, you know, you might be experiencing a romance scam? How do you get guarded against that kind of thing?
Yeah, well, so lots of times it'll begin with, you know, some kind of a friend request or a something online. You know, begins fairly, it seems pretty innocuous, either in social media or on a dating app site. But the person will usually pretty early on try to isolate the person they're trying to victimize in a way, try to get them to be cut off from other people, their friends, their neighbors, because they really don't want the person that they're trying to get the money from to actually talk to other people and get a reality check, if you will. And so oftentimes they'll try to separate them, may try to take them off of the dating app and have them correspond with them separately. They'll almost always ask for money. Usually when they ask for money, though, they'll oftentimes have a complicated story about why they're asking. They'll have, for example, they're facing a hardship, or they may actually offer to send the target or the victim money before they actually ask for money. And sometimes they will actually send money, but then they'll suddenly say, well, I need it back again, or I need it to be sent to a third party. And what's happening there is they may be engaging in money laundering to move the money around. There's another whole story about the other crimes are associated with this problem. They'll urge them not to talk to the people. They'll oftentimes promise to come meet their victim, but then for various reasons, they suddenly can't make it. Something came up and they can't make it. The perpetrator will oftentimes, there are some categories we see a lot. For example, oftentimes claim to be living overseas, or there sometimes they claim to be in the military. In fact, I can give you a couple of examples just that I pulled off of our recent last month examples of these kinds of schemes. If you'd like to hear about them, but they'll claim military or something like that, but yet they never actually carry through on the promises to come visit.
Yeah, I'd be interested to hear about some of those examples.
Sure. Sure. So this is one just from last month, March. And this is, this person said that the person who was scamming them claimed to be in the military, friended them on Facebook, started with, sweet words, building up to an online romance. And then they sprang some money problems on them. They needed money to go home, which really isn't true in the military, but they created a story about that. There are several other areas they needed money. The person claimed he was in the army, had been in the Middle East for 2 years, needed money to buy food because he didn't like the food that he was being offered in the army. So he wanted to go somewhere else and buy it, but didn't have that money. He wanted to be paid using a variety of schemes such as MoneyGram or Bitcoin. He just kept asking for more money. Very polite the whole time. Took a lot of interest in the consumer, in the victim's life. Also claimed his account's been frozen, which is everything needed money. So they created a variety of scenarios why he needed the money desperately. And he enticed the consumer to give him money. And the other thing that we saw happen, this particular victim described, was the longer the consumer is victimized, the less likely it is they believe they're really a victim. They have a hard time separating themselves from these scammers once they get hooked. And it's tragic when you talk to somebody who's been the victim. They oftentimes still think that the perpetrator, may actually not have been lying to them. They actually be out there someplace looking for them. So, for example, this consumer describes how her daughter tried to talk her out of it, begging her not to listen to this scammer who claimed he was in the military, and begging her to ignore it and step aside. And yet she continued to send money for a long time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So question for you, if someone's hearing this and, it sets off some kind of inkling in their head, what advice would you give to someone who suspects they might be in the beginning stages of a romance scam? Are there kind of questions that you should be asking?
Yeah, so this is a good time, particularly when we're not seeing our friends, neighbors as much, and you have to rely on phone and video to communicate more. It really is a good time to be asking about what people are doing. Take some maybe slightly nosy interest in, but take some interest in their love interests that they have, any of the new friends they've met online. And particularly ask them about, what kind of relationship they developed. If they mention that they're asking for money, you know, it's critical to be as firm as possible that a request for money from somebody that you've only met online and don't know is more likely than not going to be a scam. And you have to be extraordinarily forceful and also and communicate with that individual yourself, but also arrange for their friends and neighbors to communicate. Because over and over again, we hear that people cannot be dissuaded from, you know, from these kinds of scams easily. And so it really takes a team effort to try to dissuade them if you think they've been hooked. And you really need to work at it to convince them not to. One more thing, you really need to cut them off from the scammer, because as long as the scammer can reach them, they will continue to try. So if you can get them to change email accounts, change, you know, however they're communicating with the scammer, and stop using that mechanism, that means they're going to be better off.
I was going to ask about, like, are there specific warnings that one might take from the method by which they're requesting money? You mentioned Bitcoin. I know Western Union has been a scam hotspot, you could say.
Yeah, well, yeah, we thought they oftentimes will ask for it through some means like wire transfers. But this, in the past year, we saw a lot of times in which they were asking actually for money to be sent using, you know, prepaid gift cards, you know, the Apple iPhones or iTunes cards or things like that, or other kinds of gift cards. And they either wanted the cards mailed or to have the PIN number provided to them. And that seems to have been a growing mechanism or method that we saw just in the last year or so being used. So you want to watch for that as well. But you know, the truth is, any way they can get the money, particularly if it's untraceable, that's what they want to do.
When you are talking to people about romance scams and trying to warn against them, do you encounter misconceptions that people have about how it plays out?
I do, yeah. So there are a couple things. People always assume that victims of romance scams are, you know, little old men and ladies living by themselves in their homes. And, you know, they assume that a, you know, a 20 or 30 or 40-year-old wouldn't be a victim of this kind of thing. In fact, that's not true. As I've mentioned, the growth in scams, in this kind of scam targeting younger people, has been greater than it has been among older consumers. And secondly, you know, the people who lose the most money are people in their middle age years, not old people. So it's important to not think about it just as, you know, as someone who's in their 60s or 70s, although certainly those people lose the most money, but you shouldn't just assume they're the only ones who lose money.
And what is the FTC's role in monitoring these kinds of scams? Is there mitigation? Is this like the main mitigation effort in informing people, or are there other aspects that the FTC addresses?
Sure. Well, that's a great question, too. So the tragic part of these scams, aside from the effect, the emotional impact and the financial impact it has on consumers who are victims, and it can be, as I said, it can last for a long time, is it's very hard to catch the people who perpetrate these things. Lots of times they're overseas. We hear a lot of times where the perpetrated scheme is, you know, in Africa someplace or in Asia, which makes it nearly impossible for a law enforcement agency to catch up with. Occasionally they're enticed to the United States, but it's rare that happens. So for most law enforcement agencies, this is a very frustrating crime to deal with. Because your chances of catching the perpetrator are high. The FTC's role is twofold. First, we do take complaints, and we would welcome complaints from consumers who believe they or their friends have been victimized by this. We use to track and develop information, such as information I've been using today, talk about how people have been victimized and what to watch out for. You can report to reportfraud.ftc.gov with this information. Secondly, we will refer the complaints to other law enforcement agencies who have the kinds of capabilities that might allow them to get people back from overseas. The FTC is a civil law enforcement agency, so we don't have the same powers as a criminal law enforcement agency might, but we'll certainly try to refer the complaints. And then secondly, or third, I guess, we work on education, the kind of education you're hearing about here, and try to alert both people who may be victimized, and frankly, honestly, this kind of scam, or their friends, be on lookout for it, watch for it, be aware that someone of almost any age could fall for this kind of really tragic scheme.
Chuck, do you have any final thoughts before we wrap up here?
Yeah, let me offer one more thought, or maybe two more thoughts. First thought is that these scammers, another bad aspect of this, is oftentimes trying to entice their victims into helping them commit other crimes. So, for example, we saw a lot of instances recently where unemployment benefits were being stolen from states. Oregon, I think, had this problem, among others. What was happening was people were applying the names of other people for unemployment checks. And in many cases, the people who were victims of romance scams were being used to help funnel that money overseas. People would say, I'll have some money sent to you, and then you forward it on to me. And the people who got the money were unwittingly acting as helping money launder the money that was being sent overseas. So that's my first thought. Second thought, don't go by what somebody looks like on the computer. I mean, it's very easy to create a fake persona, fake picture, everything else. I know I was talking to the Attorney General from Montana a couple years ago, and he had discovered his face was being used by romance scammers. And he was a typical looking 50-year-old guy who had just discovered that his face was being used over and over again. So people think they're being victimized. It's a good idea to do an image search. You know, if you've got a picture of the person who's victimizing you, do an image search on Google or whatever your favorite browser is and see if other pictures come up just like that. That's a great strategy. Or if you can't, you know, a friend can do it. The final thing I'll say is, if somebody tells you they've stopped being a victim, believe them, but keep checking, because this really is the kind of scheme where people get hooked. I remember talking to people, you know, literally months, if not years later, in small towns, who said they still think that out there someplace, their true love may still be waiting for them. Even though they know, you know, their brain is telling them they were victimized. Their heart, though, tells them otherwise. So they really need to stay in touch with folks if it appears they've been victimized.
That was my conversation with Chuck Harwood, the FTC regional director, about the alarming uptick in romance scams over the course of the pandemic and the warning signs to watch out for. AARP Oregon is hosting a webinar to educate people about the topic on April 23rd. Find links related to this story online at KBOO.fm. For KBOO News In Depth, I'm Althea Billings.
Well, no one told me about her, the way she lied. Well, no one told me about her, how many people cried. But it's too late to say you're sorry. How would I know? Why should I care? Please don't bother trying to find her. She's not there. Well, let me tell you about the way she looked, the way she acted.